Blog Talk Radio.
Good Sunday morning, everybody. Everyone listening to us from our E2G Sports Network followers, we appreciate your support here. You're listening to Football MD with Mendoza and Davidson. I'm your host, John Mendoza, joined as always by my co-host, Dalton Davidson. And you're listening to the home of the unsung sports grid, E2G Sports Network. We have a new showtime this week. We'll be moving to Sundays at 11 o'clock Eastern, 9 o'clock Mountain Standard Time where we're located. This gives us an opportunity to going forward to kind of recap the week a little bit better for you. Sometimes some bits and pieces of news happens on Saturdays. And what a great way to start your Sunday morning with a cup of coffee, some breakfast, and right before kickoff, you get Mendoza and Davidson here to guide you through your fantasy football day and recap any of the games going on. Good morning, Dalton. How you doing, man?
I'm great. I'm ready for my weekly diagnosis of what's going on in the NFL. And we're going to be prescribing a few cool things today. I'm excited for what we've got planned. We're going to be working on a mock draft for free agency. And I'm very excited about this. This is going to be really cool.
Yeah, for real. I've seen a couple just floating around the internet, some free agency mock drafts, but they're doing it in like the draft order. So in that instance, the Jags would have the number one overall pick, Jets would have number two. We're going to switch things up a little bit. We're going to do it by salary cap. Who has the most available salary cap to the least available? Because realistically, in free agency, whoever's got the most cheddar cheese gets the best players on the market.
Exactly. And of course, we understand that that's not always how it works. You know, sometimes a team like Jacksonville or a team like, say, Cincinnati, you know, maybe they have a lot of cap space, but sometimes free agents just don't want to go there because, you know, they're thinking, I want to go to L.A. I want to go see, have that nice sunshine. I want to be in that central market. Of course, we understand that. So this isn't necessarily realistic completely, but we think it's going to be fun and a good breakdown of who the best free agents are as well.
And it's really cool because this time next week, of course, will be the start of the legal tampering window. So this will be, I guess, the last bit of pre-free agency news that we get because obviously teams are going to be franchise tagging their players up into this week. And then with the legal tampering window starting on March 15th, which is also my birthday, we'll have some teams starting to come together and see who's going to net what deal in free agency. So we've got all the teams lined up. You know, salary cap space from 1 to 32. And unironically, the Jacksonville Jaguars and the New York Jets still have picks number 1 and number 2. Not completely surprising, given how, you know, devoid of talent both of their rosters are. So, Dalton, how do you want to do this, old man? Do you want the first pick? Do you want me to go first? Who's going to kick it off here?
I'll take the first pick. I'll pick for our favorite Jacksonville Jaguars. A little context on Jacksonville coming into this year. They've got a lot of changes. They definitely have a ton of salary cap space. I believe it's around like the $70 million mark. We're working on a new coach, totally new scheme from a management perspective as well. They're trying to really change their culture in Jacksonville, and that's, of course, going to start with their first overall pick in a draft that everyone, of course, is expecting, Trevor Lawrence. It's going to really bring in a new vision of success, of talent, and of excitement. And so Jacksonville is going to be going all in on this new quarterback. And I've seen some people thinking about, you know, the best thing that they could do is go get him a wide receiver. But I saw Joe Burrow last year, and I saw, you know, he was a fantastic quarterback. He was amazing. He had good wide receivers, good running back. And you know what happened? He took a lot of sacks, mm-hmm. and he ended up tearing his ACL, missed the end of the season. And of course, is, you know, hopefully he recovers quickly and is going to be ready to go for the beginning of the season. But that is not how you want to start your rookie quarterback's great career. So for my pick for the Jacksonville Jaguars, first overall in our 2021 mock draft for fantasy or for free agents, I'm going with Trent Williams.
Oh, okay.
Tackle. Offensive tackle to protect our investment.
I like that pick. I actually like that pick a lot. And for a little bit of context as to who's available in this free agent pool, every free agent is available right now. And I know there's a lot of rumors going on about people being franchise tagged. I'll use the elephant in the room example of a Dak Prescott. The Cowboys have not technically put the franchise tag on him as of March 7th, 2021. So hypothetically, Dak Prescott is available in this draft. But I like your thinking. The Jags don't really need a receiver as badly as they do protection for Trevor Lawrence. They've got DJ Chark, who has been pretty phenomenal the last couple of years, given their quarterback situation. And they've got a kid that I'm familiar with out of Colorado, who was a rookie last year, Laviska Shenault, athletic freak. And the knock on him coming out of college was if he could stay healthy. And he did for the majority of his rookie campaign. You've got James Robinson in the backfield. Dalton, I really like this, and I think you're going to protect your franchise quarterback for hopefully, you know, the next two decades or so going forward.
Right. All right. So what do we got for the Jets going on here? They're at number two. What do you think, John?
I'm pretty stoked about this because I get to pick for the New York Jets. And if you listened to our show last week, you know, Dalton and I both kind of agreed that, you know, unless you feel Zach Wilson is just going to be truly the next, you know, best quarterback prospect, if he's going to blossom into a Joe Burrow, a Justin Herbert right away, I really feel you can stick with Sam Darnold. We both kind of went back and forth on taking Wilson or drafting down. In this instance right now, Sam Darnold is still on the team, so I'm going to roll with it. I don't think you draft a quarterback and leave him completely empty with no wide receivers, no running backs, no weapons around him like Darnold's had to deal with his first couple of years. So I think this is a pretty easy pick for me personally, and I think we're going to take that guy who was drowning in Detroit the last couple of years. I think this is a pretty easy pick. I'm going Kenny Golladay, and we're suiting up for the New York Jets, and suddenly Sam Darnold has a number one receiver for the first time in his entire career. Let's go, Kenny G.
All right. I like it. That's a smart pick. Definitely one of the best receivers available in this class. There's some other ones, of course, Godwin and Allen Robinson, that we're going to operate under the assumption that nobody's being franchise tagged unless they've already been. So everyone available. So I think Golladay, definitely my favorite receiver from last year, despite the fact that he didn't get to play a whole lot, missed, I think, 11 games. Not really what Detroit was hoping for, but I like Golladay. I think he's excellently talented. I'm going to go on and pick here for the New England Patriots. I know we got a bunch of Patriots fans in our ETG community. So let's take a look at what's available for them. New England has been historically unwilling to go and draft or go and sign free agent big names out of, you know, the receiver, the skill position classes, wide receiver, tight end, running back. They'll occasionally go and, you know, they'll usually just go and take their draft picks and develop the talent they have. But New England had some struggles last year. It wasn't just their offense that was anemic and useless. Of course, you know, we struggled to find a quarterback. I'm thinking New England may go ahead and invest in a young quarterback this year. There's a chance they could talk about going and getting a big free agent. But if I was going to look at something New England could do that could really change what's going on in that team, I'm looking at the defensive side of the football. Can we get another pass rusher, another defensive back, a linebacker? And I'm looking at something like a Leonard Williams here. I think Leonard Williams is probably the most valuable free agent left that we have. Well, maybe besides like a Dak Prescott. So I'm going to go ahead and say we take Leonard Williams to shore up the middle of that defense and just provide excellent pass rush and make sure that we can still play that Belichick football of defense first and get enough running game to support that.
Great pick. I like it. With Dak Prescott on the board, it's interesting going on the defensive side of the ball, but I agree with you. You invest in a young quarterback. probably looking at maybe draft. There's some rumors this morning that, you know, the Patriots might be interested in a reunion with Jimmy Garoppolo. So I like the Leonard Williams pick. I think he's the most talented and the youngest of the free agent defensive linemen. You're going to get, I think, what was it, seven defensive starters who were held out last year due to COVID, who opted out. You're going to get all those guys back, and in a division where you're going to have a Tua Tagovailoa or, you know, Deshaun Watson, whatever happens there. You've got a Josh Allen in the division as well. Whoever the Jets end up going with, the Zach Wilson or Sam Darnold, you got to have some pressure to put on any of those young quarterbacks. So I like the pick. All right.
What you thinking over in Indy? They've had a pretty excellent free agency so far. So what's going on?
Indianapolis landed Carson Wentz. Not a lot of holes on the roster. You got a solid offensive line. You've got a very solid backfield, a stout defense. I think the only thing you're missing in Indianapolis, kind of akin to my New York Jets pick, I think you need some weapons for Carson Wentz. I don't think that's too outlandish to say. T.Y. Hilton on this free agency list is an unrestricted free agent. So let's go out. Let's go get a quarterback, a wide receiver who just won a Super Bowl ring. Let's go get a guy that Carson Wentz can rely on for those shorter routes, who can get the ball out quickly, and also a deep threat. I'm going to take Chris Godwin, wide receiver for the Indianapolis Colts, who have a ton of cap space left. I think they can go out and draft a wide receiver again. You go get another one in free agency, but Chris Godwin, maybe you re-sign T.Y. Hilton, and suddenly Carson Wentz has weapons to throw to, which he hasn't really had in his career since the Eagles won the Super Bowl.
Great pick. Godwin maybe didn't have quite as outstanding of a year this year as he did the previous season for Jameis Winston, but of course the Bucs just had so many weapons that it was hard to endlessly spread the ball around like Winston was able to with his, what was it, like 30 million thousand yards and 40,000 interceptions, something like that. Just rounding the numbers up a little bit maybe, but I'm going to look here at Denver. Now, Denver had a rough year last year. I was expecting Denver to be a lot better than they were coming into last year. I saw, you know, excellent talent at the skill positions. They've had really solid drafts, I've felt like, the last few years, going and getting big-name skill position guys. I like what we've got at tight end, wide receiver. I think we have good running backs. I'm happy with Melvin Gordon so far. Maybe not all Denver fans are, but I think he's done a good job for Denver.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, the big challenge last year was he lost Von Miller before the season even started. And that, of course, broke, I would assume, not just the core of the defense, but probably the morale of the team as a whole to lose a leader of that caliber. What we can do here in Denver. And Dak Prescott's definitely tempting.
Oh, boy.
I think Dak should be tempting, but there's some really other great pieces. I'm not entirely sure how much help Denver needs in creating a better pass rush, because personally to me, I always, when I'm looking at free agents, I'm looking at pass rush almost every time. What can we do to create a better pass rush? Always. But we're getting Von Miller back. Hopefully that fixes that. All right, I'll do it. Dak to Denver. If I was Denver and I had that option, that would be my pick, because I would take Dak Prescott and get rid of Buzz Lightyear.
No more Drew Lock. He's out of there. New number three in Denver. It's Dak Prescott. And with the sixth pick in our free agency 2021 mock draft, it's the Washington football team. And I am so pissed that you took Dak off the board one pick before these guys. That was going to be my pick for the Washington football team. Denver gets their guy. All you need to do really shore up that defense through the draft, and suddenly Denver can contend with the Kansas City Chiefs, and they can contend with the Las Vegas Raiders and the Los Angeles Chargers. So Washington football team, we kind of got one done on us right here. We don't have our quarterback on the board anymore. I don't think any of the quarterbacks left are worth taking with the sixth overall pick. So I'm looking on the offensive side of the ball. We could use a little bit of talent here. And I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to, again, once again, take a wide receiver in our free agency mock draft. It's kind of funny, but this is the best player I feel available. You don't need a lot on defense, so let's go out and get a guy opposite of Terry McLaurin, because as a fantasy owner for Terry McLaurin last year, the amount of times I saw teams double, triple, bracket coverage McLaurin, and then just sack whichever quarterback was behind the offensive line was ridiculous. So how about we do this? How about we send our former first-round pick, Dwayne Haskins, to Pittsburgh? And in return, why don't we take Pittsburgh's number one wide receiver for the past couple of seasons? Let's take Juju Smith-Schuster, wide receiver, again, sounded like a broken record over here. Let's take Juju for the Washington football team. And whichever quarterback they roll with going into 2021 got some weapons to work with and should, again, run away with the NFC East. So run a wide receiver here early. All right.
Excellent. I think
you want to thank our listeners for listening to the E2G Sports Network, home of the Unsung Sports Grid. You're listening to Football MD with Mendoza and Davidson. How are you liking our 2021 free agency mock draft so far? Give us a call. Who do you think your team should pick up in free agency? Are you hoping your team slides in and snatches away Dak Prescott from the Dallas Cowboys? Give us a call at 516-387-1702. So this Sunday morning, I've been sipping on my wide receiver coffee all morning. And with the 7th overall pick, Dalton, you've got the Cincinnati Bengals. Who you got?
Well, the Bengals, you know, after looking at last year with how Joe Burrow went down, my first inclination is we got to go and get something to protect him a little bit better. And maybe that can be answered through the draft. But I'm looking at some offensive linemen here. We also could definitely deal with shoring up our defense as well. There's also the point that we've lost AJ Green. Some people maybe thought AJ Green has lost a step, not having missed a lot of time due to injury. But so we could definitely use more receiver talent to complement Tyler Boyd. We've got T. Higgins, so maybe we're good enough there.
For sure.
And of course we've got excellent running back, and of course we're happy with our quarterback. I think there's probably a few teams happier with their quarterback, despite him getting injured last year, than the Bengals with Joe Burrow. So I would say we need to get up a little bit better of a running game, a little bit better of a passing game. And the only way to do that at the same time, I'd say, is to go get an offensive lineman. So I'm looking at a veteran on a very young and inexperienced team. I'm looking at Russell Okung.
There we go.
Leadership and experience, but a solid offensive tackle to protect Burrow and get us a bit of a running game.
Nice. Yeah, I like that pick. And, you know, assuming that this would be true, with the 5th overall pick, now you've got some options. You don't necessarily feel hand-tied to a Penei Sewell. You could look to maybe draft a weapon. You can look to trade down. There could be a lot of options for Cincy with this. I like that pick a lot. And with the 8th overall pick here in our 2021 free agency mock draft, I got the Carolina Panthers, 8th most salary in the NFL. And I know the big headlines around Carolina are the team going all in for Deshaun Watson. You've got them offering 2 first rounders and Christian McCaffrey for Watson. We don't know what's going to happen there, but really, as bad as Teddy Bridgewater was last year, I look at the defensive side of the ball and I think, really, you guys think that bringing in a quarterback is going to make you Super Bowl contenders, contend in that division? You're going to beat Tom Brady with that defense? Absolutely not. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to make a rival our new best friend. Let's take the defensive leader for the Super Bowl winning Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Let's take Lavonte David at linebacker. Let's plug him in with an 8th overall pick and a Carolina Panthers uniform. And for the first time since Luke Kuechly, another defensive standout veteran linebacker, let's make this Carolina Panthers defense feared again.
Excellent. Yeah, I think I think we've got a definite change in philosophy in Carolina. Our new coaching staff here, we've definitely had a big change in philosophy on defense, and the results showed pretty quickly. Of course, Carolina definitely flew under a lot of people's radar with not having Christian McCaffrey for highlights. Teddy Bridgewater doesn't often bring a whole lot of I think he's a strong quarterback still, but he doesn't bring the limelight really to your team. Carolina really was missing a lot of that limelight. I think you continuing to shore up that defense could keep that team under the radar still, yet still able to compete in that division that may not be as strong next year. We'll see how the Saints are able to continue as they are way down at the bottom of this draft with not very much, well, quite negative cap space, I believe, around the $50 million mark.
Yeah.
So I'm looking here at Miami. Miami had a great season last year. Miami was fantastic. They were well ahead of everyone else's predictions as far as going from one of the worst teams in the league, tanking for Tua. They ended up getting Tua after Tua kind of tanked for them into the fifth draft slot. But now Miami's looking at they're still looking at quarterback options potentially. Ryan Fitzpatrick's on the market. I'm going to assume we're not going to bring Fitzpatrick back. There's some other quarterbacks you could look at. There's Jameis Winston. There's, Mitchell Trubisky. We've got Andy Dalton, Jacoby Brissett. I'm not liking those options
Yuck.
Better than I am liking. I'm not liking that better than sticking with Tua and hoping he can figure it out. Because you could go and get Jameis Winston. And he's got great talent. He's got all the tangible skills you would think to help your team succeed. And then he throws three picks and you lose. So I'm looking a little bit different line on our offensive side of the football. I think we kind of whiffed on Matt Breida last year. I think we go ahead and take another shot at a running back from free agency. And let's go ahead and grab up another Tampa Bay Buccaneer and Leonard Fournette.
Oh, okay. I like that. Super Bowl winning running back who, despite Ronald Jones' fantasy success in 2021, it was really Leonard Fournette, a castaway from the Jacksonville Jaguars, who carried that team all the way to the Super Bowl. I really like this pick. You give your young quarterback or your incoming quarterback a reliable weapon in the backfield to lean on. And I think it's a great pick, Dalton. Here we go. Number 10 overall pick right after Miami. The Los Angeles Chargers found their guy last year in Justin Herbert. Protection wasn't really all that great. He was under duress a lot, still aired it out. The defense is coming along pretty nicely, getting some guys back this year that were hurt last year. I think this is a pretty easy pick. Earlier in this draft, at the number 7 pick, Dalton took Russell Okung for the Bengals, who, you know, could have been a good option here. But I think we go out and we get our young guy, another offensive lineman to help protect him, protect our investment. It's a nasty AFC West pass rush out there. Let's take Brandon Scherff from formerly the Washington football team. Let's take him to be our offensive tackle for our young quarterback here. Best offensive tackle on the board left. Let's snatch him up here at number 10.
Nice, nice. Brandon Scherff, excellent pick. Protect our investment, of course, with Joe Burrow, with Trevor Lawrence, with our boy in Los Angeles.
Justin Herbert, yeah.
Definitely. Justin Herbert, we protecting those young quarterbacks is quite necessary, or you also end up in a situation like Seattle with Russell Wilson taking 50 sacks a year for the last 9 seasons, and suddenly he wants out, not due to lack of success, but due to lack of protection. And we got a similar situation.
Let's go ahead and recap just picks 1 through 10 for those who are joining or, this will be posted later on the E2G Sports website. But let's just recap. Pick number 1 for the Jaguars was Trent Williams. Number 2 for the Jets was Kenny Golladay. Patriots taking Leonard Williams. Number 4, the Colts take Chris Godwin. Number 5, the Broncos land their quarterback in Dak Prescott. Washington football team at number 6 takes Juju Smith-Schuster. The Cincinnati Bengals take Russell Okung to shore up Joe Burrow's protection. The Panthers snatch in-division rival Lavonte David away from the Bucks. the Miami Dolphins will take Leonard Fournette as a running back to pair with Tua and or Deshaun Watson, and the Los Angeles Chargers will take Brandon Scherff to shore up Justin Herbert's protection. And Dalton, at number of pick 11, Houston Texans. What's going on in Houston, man? You got a big job there filling all those holes down and in Houston.
Houston's got more holes than your regular store-bought Swiss cheese right now. We had a historic season from one of the best quarterbacks in the league last year, throwing around 4,800 yards, had an insane quarterback rating, well over 100, and just broke all kinds of records when being compared to a team that got not just less than 7 wins, which was what these records were set, but a team that went 4-12, has no draft picks, they don't have their normal first-round draft pick, at least this year, that should be a top-5 pick. And you're just looking at Houston. They've horribly mismanaged their franchise. They can't buy people to come into their stadium right now. I'm looking at what can we do to make people actually want to come and see our team and bring some kind of culture back to Houston that isn't a culture of driving people out of the city. Because now we've lost our, not just probably Deshaun Watson, but also J.J. Watt, who was the other big name identity of this football team and this culture in Houston for the Texans. I mean, there's no draft pick that's going to solidify this and fix it. But if I was Houston right now, I'd take a long, hard look at Jameis Winston if we're going to lose Deshaun Watson.
Ooh. Okay.
Because, you know, at least we could, you know, air it out. It's kind of like the Ryan Fitzpatrick effect, right? Where you don't know exactly what you're going to get, but at least the game should be entertaining. And I think that's Houston's best chance at maybe, you know, staying on television a little bit longer, at least getting one or two games on TV, getting a couple of fans in the stadium, maybe. He is a young quarterback. He is rather unproven. Maybe with better coaching, he gets a better chance. Maybe with a different culture, he has a chance to improve. I'll go Jameis Winston.
Wow, a shocker.
To replace Deshaun
number
Watson.
11. Yeah, this Jameis Winston, former number one overall pick, man. And you got to do something. If you assume you're going to lose Deshaun Watson, you have to do something. And I think that's a good way to start rebuilding the team around a guy who clearly has the talent, just needs to shore up some holes in his game. And right as the Houston Texans are handing in their draft card, the pick is already in for the Baltimore Ravens. It's so easy. It's so simple. I don't know how we let this guy, you know, make it to the number 12th overall pick here in our free agency mock draft. But the pick is already in. The draft card was already written. It's Allen Robinson, man. That's an easy pick for me. I'll sing on this wide receiver tree all day. I just can't help myself. It's a loaded free agency for wide receivers, and you've got one of the best in the whole game in Allen Robinson hitting free agency. We assume the Bears will franchise tag him. As of right now, they have not. So Lamar Jackson gets his number one weapon in Allen Robinson. You've got your Tyreek Hill Jr. and Hollywood Brown in the slot. You've got J.K. Dobbins running the ball. And look out, Pittsburgh, because now this is Baltimore's division.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, I've got one team that has something to say about that. It's a team that finished ahead of Baltimore last year.
Ooh, here we go.
Won their first playoff game in about 3 centuries. After beating in-division dominant king, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Cleveland Browns come in with the best running game in the league by far, absolute best running back duo. They've got talented wide receiver. We've got a quarterback who likes to look at UFOs occasionally, but other than that, seems to be pretty good and is gaining confidence. So if I'm Cleveland right now, and I've mentioned that I can never pass up on a pass rusher. There's quite a few good ones still available. We've still got Yannick. We've still got Bud Dupree. But I'm going to look at a guy who had excellent success as being opposite a premier pass rusher out in L.A. I'm going to take Leonard Floyd for Cleveland.
Nice. Nice. That's a good pick. Yeah, I like that. And it's just interesting because as the Steelers' roster starts to age and kind of fall apart, specifically, you know, Ben Roethlisberger with retirement talk, and if 2021 could be his last season, let's go. It's time for the Browns and the Ravens to rise. I'm super stoked about that. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they already lost their leader on their defense in our draft here. So at the 14th pick, Lavonte David is off the board. I'm looking around here and I'm like, okay, what can we do anything to replace Lavonte David? And I think the answer is absolutely. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to go out and take maybe the best linebacker on the board, but I'm going to take a guy who played with Tom Brady in New England. Tom Brady ended up going to Tampa Bay, and this player ended up going to Miami for a little bit. It's Kyle Van Noy. Let's go bring back, reunite the two former Patriots. And Kyle Van Noy slips in to that starting middle linebacker spot, and he's hoping to win a Super Bowl ring before he hangs up the cleats. Kyle Van Noy to number 14, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Excellent. That's a great pick. Kyle Van Noy is one of my favorite linebackers. Had a solid season in Miami last year. Surprised he was only there for 1 year, but we'll see if they do end up tagging him potentially. We've got everybody's favorite Dallas Cowboys coming up here. Cowboys, of course, had an awful season last year. And right now, as far as this free agent draft prediction is going, we're predicting they are losing Dak Prescott. However, I'm not looking quite happily enough at this list of quarterbacks to go ahead and snatch up a free agent. Though I would say going back to Andy Dalton or Ryan Fitzpatrick is a solid Band-Aid, at least. And to be honest, depending on the talent that we are able to surround this team with, might be good enough to win that division because it's crap. It's awful. Though I think the Washington should be the favorite. Dallas still could go ahead and steal that division away with just a few wins. It may only take 8. But I'm looking at how we can fix that defense because it was historically bad last year. They allowed 30 touchdowns at home last season, and big plays almost every play. I mean, we got Odell Beckham throwing touchdowns 50 yards down the field. This team couldn't stop a nosebleed. So what do we do to fix this defense? Pass rush, defensive back, linebacker. I mean, we need it all, to be honest. But Dallas likes their big names. So I'm going to go and grab Patrick Peterson.
Let's go. Okay. I like it. And you're familiar with P2, you know, coming from Arizona Cardinals. I mean, he goes to try to shore up that Cowboys secondary who's losing Awuzie, another cornerback here on our free agency list. I like that pick a lot.
Right, yeah, we're going to need some defensive backs, and we get a little bit of help on the return side as well. So special teams should get us a couple of big plays during the season. I'll go with Peterson. I like him. But what's up in San Fran?
So San Francisco, you know, coming into round out the first half of our draft here. Oh, there's just so many questions with this team. I mean, do you have what you need on the offensive side of the ball? You have a stout defense. You get a lot of defensive starters back. George Kittle was hurt most of last year. You're losing some players on the offensive side of the ball. Nothing at quarterback particularly interests me. But how about we go a little bit in this direction? What if we go and get ourselves an offensive lineman to shore up a little bit of our protection, a little bit of the run game, and we're just going to easily take, as tempting as some of these running backs are, I don't think Kyle Shanahan likes to use one running back anyway. I'm going to take Joe Thurley at offensive tackle, and you know we're replacing another offensive lineman in Trent Williams. Let's go ahead and plug in Joe Thurley right here, and we have ourselves our offensive tackle for Jimmy G or whoever we decide to bring in. So he's off the board here at pick number 16.
Awesome. I want to take a little break here and just thank our viewers. Thank E2G Sports for providing this platform for us. E2G Sports is the home of the Unsung Sports Grid. This is John and Dalton. Jonathan Mendoza, Dalton Davis here, bringing you Football MD. Let us diagnose your team. prescribe a solution and fix what's going on with your franchise. And we're going to do that by continuing our free agency mock draft here. We're through the first half of the draft, and we're continuing on with the New York Giants at number 17. Giants had a pretty bad year last year, of course, with Saquon Barkley getting hurt. So what can we do? We actually had a pretty solid defense, but we lacked good, consistent play at the quarterback position. But what can we do to help out a young quarterback here? I like taking another little weapon for him. I think one of the more underrated guys on this roster left is going to be Jonnu Smith. Let's go ahead and get a nice, strong tight end and give Daniel Jones, Danny Dimes, another option.
There you go. That's a good pick. I actually really like that. And you have Evan Ingram, but with the injury concerns, Jonnu Smith, who kind of broke out in Tennessee, I like that pick a lot. And I'm going to piggyback right off of you, because as soon as you said tight end, I was sweating bullets. Because here's my pick for the Seattle Seahawks. Russell Wilson is molding right now that all of the good offensive tackles are off the board. And let's be honest, Seattle leadership doesn't like to protect their franchise quarterback anyway. So we're going to piggyback. Let's go back-to-back tight ends here, and let's get Russell Wilson another weapon. Let's go get Hunter Henry, formerly of the Los Angeles Chargers. And he's going up north to Seattle. He'll be Russell Wilson's franchise tight end, which he hasn't really had throughout his career.
Back-to-back tight ends. I love it. Cardinals here are coming in. They're the Seahawks division rivals. Of course, we had a couple of great games between Seattle and Arizona last year. Arizona is coming in with a lot of expectations, just like last year. They kind of remind you of the Cleveland Browns, right? Where a lot of expectations so far have not met the standard that we're hoping for. But we've got talent. We've got big names. But we've lost a little bit of talent. We did lose Hassan Reddick, of course, replacing him with J.J. Watt as a pass rusher. We've also lost Patrick Peterson. We definitely could use some help at that cornerback position. It would be nice. And, you know, we discussed Seattle just a moment before. It wouldn't be the worst thing to have a little bit of more veteran leadership on that team as well as we try to make a playoff push and potentially win a Super Bowl. I like Richard Sherman. If he can stay healthy, kind of like J.J. Watt, might be a solid pick to protect this back end of this Cardinals defense.
Wow, wouldn't that be something? Richard Sherman goes from the Seattle Seahawks to the San Francisco 49ers to the Arizona Cardinals. He will have played for three NFC West teams in his career. That's pretty freaking cool. And who is also molding right now is John Gruden, who with the next pick, the number 20th pick, was actually, you know, he wasn't fined, but he was being investigated for collusion and tampering with his recruitment of Richard Sherman to the Las Vegas Raiders. So he is just really ticked right now that he went one pick before to the Arizona Cardinals at 19. But I think this next pick is pretty simple as well. John Gruden loves his old school, mean, nasty guys, big hits. You name it, he likes it. So we're going to make this pick pretty quick and pretty easy here. We're going to take Anthony Harris at safety to, again, try to shore up that leaky Raiders secondary. You got to go against Patrick Mahomes twice a year. You got to go against, you know, Justin Herbert and all those weapons in L.A. I think this is a pretty simple pick, formerly of the Minnesota Vikings. It's Anthony Harris. That's your leader on defense. And he's going to bring those nasty hits.
Nice. Anthony Harris, big pickup for the Raiders. We're going to go to another team that barely missed the playoffs in the AFC last year. Tennessee had a strong season. Of course, they had the Cinderella season the year before with King Henry stepping into the spotlight. And Derrick Henry, of course, had a great year again this year. It doesn't look like there's a whole lot stopping him. But, I mean, then again, we said that about many running backs who quickly thereafter had a fall off. Ezekiel Elliott is a long shot away from his 2016-17 power level. But Tennessee's real problem last year was not being able to put together a consistent defense, especially at the pass rushing position. So if any team should be getting a big-name pass rusher, I would say it is Tennessee. So I'm going to go and grab... I mean, there's a couple options here, really, between maybe Bud Dupree and Yannick. I'm going to grab Yannick Ngakoue.
Nice. that's a solid pick. I really like that pick for the Titans. And yeah, the Titans. That's what they need. And the AFC South, and yeah, you got Carson Wentz to contend with. So you can never pass up a pass rusher. There you go. At pick number 22 is the Buffalo Bills, and this team is not missing a lot. I mean, you don't make it to the AFC Championship without having, you know, very few holes on your roster. But one thing that really hurt them specifically in the playoffs is the lack of a running game. And as shiny as this running back class looks in free agency, when you really start to dive deep into these guys, it's not as great. It might be fool's gold, some would say. But I think the chance at taking a talented running back here in the back half of the draft is too tempting, and the Buffalo Bills are going to take Kenyon Drake, formerly of the Arizona Cardinals. Let's get our guy Josh Allen a running game. Let's complete this explosive offense. And hey, let's try to unseat the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC.
That's a fantastic pick and a great idea, because it would be fantastic to see Josh Allen not be the leading rusher on his team, since he's supposed to be a pass-first quarterback, but just doesn't always get the choice on a team that hasn't been able to put together a run game. All right, so from a team that has hardly any holes to a team that seems to have several, Minnesota had a big fall-off from being in the playoffs last year or the year before, and then coming into this year really struggled to get their feet under them at the beginning of the season. And they've let go of some guys in the last couple of years. Everson Griffin, of course, was a major part of their defense for many, many seasons before being let go before this past season. He is back on the board, but I don't think it's time to bring in Everson Griffin. I'm actually looking a little bit more on the back half of the defense to see if we can shore up that area. And I wouldn't mind going and grabbing something like a Shaquille Griffin.
Nice.
To provide that spark in the back half of the defense and not have Cousins need to put up quite so many points.
Yeah, you're losing Anthony Harris in free agency in this draft specifically. So you go out and you get yourself another cornerback to kind of shore up that secondary. You got to face Aaron Rodgers twice a year. I mean, that in and of itself is reason enough to start looking at cornerback. And I find it very interesting, Dalton, that as we're coming into the back half of this draft, we're finding teams with the least amount of salary cap. And ironically, they're the ones with the most holes on their roster, because at pick number 24, you've got the Chicago Bears. And in this draft, you know, you don't have Mitchell Trubisky coming back. You lost Allen Robinson, and there's really not any quarterback available. You're kind of hoping you swing for the fence on Russell Wilson. Do you trust your organization with Jacoby Brissett or Andy Dalton? None of those really excite me. So let's steer into the skid and let's go shore up that defensive side of the ball. Let's go out and get ourselves another defensive lineman. Let's go get Ryan Kerrigan, familiar with a 3-4 defense. There's really nothing left for the Bears to do on the offensive side of the ball. So let's go shore up the defense again. You got to go up against Aaron Rodgers twice a year. I think that's at right now at 24 Chicago. That's the best you can really hope for, and look to trade for a quarterback elsewhere.
Yeah, I like that pickup for Chicago, especially because it might play into their potential plans to make a blockbuster offer for Russell Wilson. I mean, you're going to have to give up something big to go and get that name, maybe even like a Khalil Mack, as much as that would pain Bears fans. But if you're gonna make a play for Matt Nagy and your GM to keep their jobs, you're gonna have to make some kind of blockbuster move to at least show Bears fans that you're trying to win. Speaking of a team that needs to show it's trying to win, the Detroit Lions are on the clock, and this team, I mean, they could have had the first pick in this draft, and I still think they could be contending for an 0-16 season, because. Oh my gosh, the lack of talent on this team. We've lost our best wide receiver. We've lost our quarterback. We traded him away for a ham sandwich, basically. And we're running it down with Jared Goff this year. We have one of the worst defenses in the league. That's only gotten worse this year, as we lost Romeo Okwara, who was our one of our strongest pass rushers. We're hoping to get stronger at cornerback. we could always go and get another Ohio State guy in the draft. Defense is an issue for Detroit. And there's not a whole lot left available on the defensive side of the football. But there are still a few wide receivers left that we could pick up to replace Kenny Galladay. We lost Marvin Jones as well. So I could be looking at a veteran guy. We're going to need some kind of spark. There's A.J. Green. There's Antonio Brown. Maybe don't want to mess with that fire. We could try to bring back Golden Tate as well. Sammy Watkins is on the board. Do we need to try and help out our young superstar DeAndre Swift, who is probably the only remaining exciting piece on this team? Getting a little help for him might be the play. Adrian Peterson was able to give him some spells on several downs and take up those big bruising downs. So I'm looking at a pick here like a Frank Gore, like a Mark Ingram, even like a Todd Gurley, someone who can take some hits away from DeAndre Swift. And so from that perspective, I think we go ahead and grab ourselves Mark Ingram.
Okay, nice. Yeah, that's a decent pick, and you're going to have to rely on the run this year with not a lot to work with on the offensive side of the ball. And with the Green Bay Packers at pick number 26 on the clock, I think this pick is already set in stone. If it were me personally, I might not go for this player, but they tried to trade for him at the trade deadline last year. I think it's Will Fuller, formerly of the Houston Texans, and you give Aaron Rodgers, finally, a decent number two wide receiver here. I have Will Fuller opposite of Davante Adams. I mean, you're rolling back for another MVP season for Aaron Rodgers. So that's going to conclude pick number 26. And as we come into the fourth segment of the show, we once again want to thank E2G Sports Network, home of the unsung sports career. You're listening to Football MD with Mendoza and Davidson. Let us diagnose your team. We're doing our 2021 free agency mock draft based on salary cap available as the draft order. Already some major changes here prove, and some teams still look doomed. Give us a call if you have anything to contribute. 516-387-1702. And I'll pass the baton back to you, Dalton. Pick number 27, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Who are they taking?
Well, the Pittsburgh Steelers are still sitting here with a couple of their own guys on the board. It'd be really nice to go and maybe get Le'Veon Bell back. It'd be really nice to go and get Bud Dupree back. But we're going to operate under the assumption that that's not going to happen. This team needs to figure out how to run the ball better. They need some spark. They need some power. They need a bit of everything. So let's go. And we're losing James Conner as well. So I think if we're Pittsburgh, let's go and get a guy who maybe hasn't had as much of a chance to prove himself. Let's go and grab a Jerick McKinnon, who was highly touted in San Francisco, but never really got the chance due to injury to prove how talented he was.
Great. All right, so you're getting yourself a running back here. Running back, like I said, kind of fool's gold, and that's where I fall at pick number 28, the Atlanta Falcons. I really want a running back here, but the best running backs on the board, Todd Gurley, do you really want to bring him back after his injury-riddled season? Carlos Hyde, no. Tevin Coleman back to Atlanta, no. Le'Veon Bell could be interesting, but again, I think his best years are behind him. So if I'm Atlanta, I'm looking to maybe target that position in the draft, get some young blood in the backfield. And at linebacker, let's go. We saw the Carolina Panthers and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers both shore up their defenses with the linebacker, and we're going to follow suit. We're going to do the exact same thing. We're going to take Matt Milano, linebacker, and we're going to shore up this defense. And hopefully with a defensive leader like Milano, somebody who can be the quarterback of that defense, we're not going to blow so many leads this year. We're not going to blow leads in the fourth quarter, and we're going to make the playoffs this year. Let's go, Atlanta.
Great pick for Atlanta. They definitely need a stronger defense. We've got Kansas City on the board here. Kansas, of course, had a disappointing finish to the season, but 14-2 is nothing to sneeze at. Kansas is losing Sammy Watkins, according to our draft here. I'm going to operate under the assumption, of course, that they're not picking him back up. So let's go and get another big, speedy playmaker for Patrick Mahomes. That is what he loves. He loves to just chuck it down the field and have his wide receivers, the guys, beat the guys. So I like a few of the receivers we have left here. I mean, there is still some of the veterans like A.J. Green and Golden Tate that would be nice, or DeSean Jackson. But let's get a speedy young guy still, and I'm going to go for Marvin Jones.
Nice. A nice, reliable pass catcher. You're losing Sammy Watkins to free agency. And personally, in my humble opinion, I think that's an upgrade in and of itself. Amazing to go from Detroit to Kansas City should that move happen. At number 30, and these are some of the teams that are in the negatives. They're in the red for salary cap. So how realistic this is, you know, let the powers that be decide. But the Los Angeles Rams, you're losing your number two cornerback, who was opposite of Jalen Ramsey this year, and Troy Hill. Suspended 5 times, 8 years, okay. So maybe we don't bring Troy Hill back, but hey, there's another guy on the board who I happen to be quite fond of. I think he had a down year last year, but I think he'll work really well as a cornerback number two as opposed to a cornerback number one. Let's take Chidobe Awuzie, who was a cornerback for University of Colorado, played for the Cowboys last year, and I think he's going to function so much better opposite of Jalen Ramsey versus trying to be the only solid player for a leaky Cowboys secondary.
Nice. Chidobe Awuzie to the Rams, go opposite Jalen Ramsey. Excellent pick. Continue to be the strongest defense in the league, potentially. We got Philly on the clock here. Philly is not just in the red, but in the dumps, because they have lost Carson Wentz, who I think was maybe unceremoniously run out of town. Absolutely no offensive talent outside of Miles Sanders, who had a pretty bad season last year. I'm looking at, we need to get some wide receiver talent. Wouldn't be bad to get some talent at any position on the offensive side of the football. But let's get Jalen Hurts a little more help. I'm going to assume we're going to stay with Jalen Hurts. Let's get someone who can be reliable, a bit of a veteran. Let's go and get an A.J. Green and provide Jalen Hurts some talent on the offensive side of the football.
Nice. Yeah. Solid wide receiver veteran. At this stage in his career, maybe Green doesn't want to go to a team rebuilding. But, hey, that's where things land here in our mock draft. And with the final pick, the least amount of salary cap, a crazy like 50-something million in the red, is the New Orleans Saints. So I'd be surprised if they signed just about anybody this offseason. You assume that Drew Brees is retiring. Your heir apparent, Jameis Winston, was drafted by the Houston Texans earlier today. So, boy, things aren't looking all that up for the Saints. And honestly, I was kind of tempting going back and forth to get A.J. Green just to give somebody opposite of Michael Thomas for whatever quarterback you bring in. But with that said, how about we go out and we draft another veteran wide receiver here, who spent his days playing for the Indianapolis Colts. He'll come in and fill that number two slot opposite Michael Thomas. They both wear number 13. I'm going to round out my wide receiver heavy picks here with T.Y. Hilton to the New Orleans Saints. And that's going to, you know, hopefully shore up their offense enough to contend with whichever quarterback they decide to bring in. And that does it. There's awesome. All our first round, our 2021 free agency draft. What stood out to you, man? We got about 5 minutes left in the show. What were some good picks, and where did we really screw some teams over?
Well, it's interesting how some of these stronger offensive players slid so far. Something like a Jonnu Smith and a Kenyon Drake, surprising to see them fall so far, but there are just some teams that seem to have some very glaring weaknesses on offensive or defensive side of the football. We really prioritize offensive line picks, of course, for our young quarterbacks. And I don't think we were necessarily wrong to do that, because I think a lot of these teams with those young quarterbacks are going to be needing to protect those investments, because a quarterback, especially a young rookie or second or third year quarterback around the age of 25 or less, I mean, that's your franchise. You are stuck with that investment, hopefully for 10 years if you can lock him up on a good contract, and that's your ticket to a Super Bowl you're hoping one day if you're looking at a team like Jacksonville or Cincinnati or the Chargers who have a great young quarterback and just really need to protect that investment. So that's what ended up leading to some of these other guys slipping a little bit farther than expected.
And it really is a deep free agency class. I'm just combing through the leftovers. You know, who would go into free agency, I suppose, should this draft have happened. And there's some solid defensive players on, you know, particularly on defensive line. You know, you've got Jundeveon Clowney, Justin Houston, Tyrone Crawford, Solomon Thomas is out there. I mean, it's a really deep free agency class. So I think regardless of if your team doesn't necessarily land a, you know, land a splashy, sexy free agent signing right away, they don't ink that day one signing, just be patient a little bit. Wait for some of the chips to fall because this is a deep class. Defensive line, wide receivers, and even defensive backs is pretty loaded this year. I kind of agree with you. I think a lot of offensive starters fell. I think the draft really got interesting once Dak came off the board because there's a lot of teams below, like Washington Football Team, you know, like a New Orleans Saints, guys that, you know, you need a replacement for. The Texans taking Jameis Winston. I would personally consider that a reach at pick number 11, but you got to do what you got to do because you have to land a quarterback. It's the most important position on the football field, and there was really no other option at this point. Well, you can
Right, yeah.
find the. Go ahead.
We still got so many excellent players available, as you said. Trey Hendrickson had 14 sacks last year. Any team that already has a strong pass rusher is going to be looking to pick him up, such as Cleveland. You know, they could be looking to land that if things don't go as planned with landing Leonard Floyd. So many of these guys are going to be looking for teams with plenty of cap. Jacksonville is going to be landing more than one free agent this year. They've got $70 million. It's not going all into Trent Williams. There's a lot of teams here who are going to be spending a lot of money, and those teams down at the bottom that are in the red, they're not necessarily going to be picking up free agents. It's maybe making a few more available this offseason.
Definitely some cap casualties, some cuts. It's going to be really interesting. Like I said at the beginning of the show, this time next week, we'll have the legal tampering window getting ready to kick off. So rumors abound. We're going to have, you know, teams who are committing to players, franchise tags. Listen, I don't think any of us expect Dak Prescott to hit free agency. I think that tag will get slapped down. Someone like an Allen Robinson, probably also a tag candidate. But hey, that's part of the fun. That's part of free agency. Real quick, we'll wrap it up here. Dalton, who's one free agent you hope the Cardinals sign? And it might just be J.J. Watt since you guys already signed him.
Yeah, I mean, we've had a great free agency already with just grabbing J.J. Watt. But I would really like to see the Cardinals go out and get one of those, just another wide receiver, not necessarily one of the big names. I'd love to see the Cardinals get a guy like a Golden Tate. They don't have a whole lot of money left to spend this free agent class. So, I mean, they're going to be looking at something like a Golden Tate. I wouldn't mind, of course, seeing some more talent on the backside of the defense with cornerback. Which is where my pick originally came in from. And offensive line is definitely an area they need to shore up. There's still, like, on our board, we've got Mike Pouncey available, Alejandro Villanueva, a couple of good guards that could really help the Cardinals develop a better run game. So that would be my hopes.
For the Broncos, I really just want us to grab a cornerback. It's by far our biggest weakness. I also wouldn't mind a linebacker. Awuzie, bring him back to Colorado. I'd be down. Any of these linebackers we listed off, all the way from Levante David to Matt Milano, I would be more than happy with. That's going to wrap up our show for today, folks. You can find the results at e2gsports.com. I'm your host, John Mendoza, joined by my wonderful friend and co-host, Dalton Davidson. Thank you for listening to Football MD. Join us this time next week as we break down free agency. We'll break down a little more draft, and we're going to have a great time during this 2021 offseason. Let us diagnose your team here on Football MD. Have a great week, folks.